morning. Thank you for being here this morning. I appreciate Brother Mike reading Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. If you will, take your Bibles and open up to Genesis chapter 2, because we're going to read several of the verses this morning. I have some that I've put up on the TVs, but we're going to read a few chapters, or a few verses this morning. Have you ever signed a contract that you did not fully read or understand? How many of you went and bought a new car? Do you sit and read every line that's on that contract before you sign it? No, because most of the time we trust the person that is sitting there in front of us that's telling us exactly what the contract says and what it entails, what our responsibility are. So we go ahead and sign. And it's the same thing with a credit card. If you apply for a credit card, 9 times out of 10, you don't read all the disclosures, do you? I know I don't. But if you do, if you sign the contract without fully reading, you do so mostly because you trust the person who is asking you to sign it. And in Genesis chapter 22, God asks Abraham to commit to sacrificing his son and not offering any explanation. And you know what? Abraham obeyed. God didn't offer an explanation when he told Abraham. What's it say there in verse 1 of chapter 22? And it came to pass after these things, God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee unto the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. I don't know if y'all know how far Abraham took Isaac, but some believe that it's somewhere around 55 miles. Because if you look down here in verse 4, it says, Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Could you imagine walking 3 days and knowing in your heart that when you arrived to where God wanted you to go, that you were to sacrifice him? This is a revealing test. We just read Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. And when it says here that in verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt. God did not tempt. The word there literally in the Hebrew is test. It is to put someone to the test, to conduct a test. God was testing Abraham. God had already promised that through Isaac, all nations would be blessed. God was tempting Abraham in Abraham's faithfulness and belief in God's promise. God's tests are not to learn something. God didn't test Abraham to learn something of Abraham. God tested Abraham to reveal something about Abraham himself. And when we face trials and temptations, when we're tested, God literally is trying to reveal something about us. Tests can clarify our loyalties. It can mature our faith. We don't know what we're made of until we're tested, do we? We really don't know what we're made of until we are tested. Look at James chapter 1 and verses 2 through 4. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Now, that word there, count. Count it all joy. Literally is to consider, to regard. Consider when you fall into divers temptations. Literally, when you encounter. That's what the word fall there. You know, count literally is to consider or to regard. When you encounter your temptations, when you encounter the trials that come upon you, what does it reveal about you? This is what God was trying to reveal about Abraham. God wasn't trying to cause Abraham to fall or to stumble. He was trying to get Abraham to understand faith. Do we truly understand faith? Now, look, let's read Genesis 22, verses 3 through 6. Let's read these verses. Verse 3 through 6. "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto the young men, Abide ye here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come." Now remember these words. "And come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. This is a resolute faith. Notice that he rose up early in the morning. He didn't delay. You know, he didn't try to negotiate with God. God told him what he was to do. Abraham got up early and went. Genesis 22, verse 3. "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took the two young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering." He did not dilly-dally. He didn't put it off for a more convenient time. "Well, God, you know, my sheep, they need to be looked after, and the guy that I had looking after sheep, he quit, so I need to find somebody else. No. He left the very next morning, early, to obey God. Also, notice this. Faith that is delayed until an explanation isn't faith. It's negotiation. Faith that is delayed until an explanation is given. God didn't explain why he wanted Abraham to offer Isaac. He just says, Abraham, I want you to take your son and go to the place that I'm going to tell you, and I want you to sacrifice him to me. And you know what's really interesting? He said, the son whom you love, I want you to sacrifice. We also need to notice that he expected that Isaac would return with him. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. A resolute faith he expected Isaac to return, even though he knew in his heart that he was going to put Isaac to death. Hebrews 11, verse 19. According to God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. According that God was able to raise him up. Abraham was going to take the knife in Isaac's life and offer him as a sacrifice. And Abraham, with all of his heart, mind, and soul, believed that God would raise him back from the dead. He did not waver. A resolute faith. But how many times do we waver in our faith? How many times do perhaps we question God? How many times do we question our own faith? Do we truly believe what God tells us in his word? Do we waver because we see all of the things that's taking place out in the world and we become overwhelmed? I'll tell you what. If I was told to sacrifice one of my kids, I would most definitely be overwhelmed. But the absolute, resolute faith of Abraham allowed him to go as far as he did. And if the angel of the Lord had not stopped him, Isaac would have died. I truly do believe that. Most people might think that this is a radical obedience. How can you obey a God that wants you to sacrifice your own kids? Notice Genesis 22. Before we look at that, let's read verses 7 through 10. Verses 7 through 10, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father? And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son without hesitation. A radical obedience. And then we see there in verse 8, "And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they both went together." Do we have a radical faith? Abraham, he did not know how God was going to resolve this dilemma. Abraham had already been promised that through Isaac, all nations would be blessed. But here God is wanting Abraham to slay and put to death Isaac, in whom the promise was given. Abraham didn't know how he was going to resolve this dilemma, but he believed that he would. He believed that God would raise Isaac back to life. Abraham took the knife in hand, and he stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay the son. Do we have an obedient faith that will obey God? You know, it's easy to obey God in the easy things, isn't it? It's easy to obey God when things are easy. But when things get hard, many times our obedience lacks. Sometimes when things get difficult, what do? Well, many times we don't obey. God, I just don't understand why you're putting me through this. Well, maybe we need to realize that sometimes, as we've seen there in James chapter 1 and verse 2, when you fall into diverse temptations, when you look at the things that come upon you, do we look at them as to help us to strengthen our faith? Or do we look at it as a burden? Something that, you know, God should not put this on me because, you know, I've been going to church all my life. Do we have an obedient faith that will obey God in the hard things? How hard do you think it was for Abraham? How hard do you think it was for him to literally take that knife and start to plunge it into the chest of his son? I imagine it was pretty hard. But his faith was resolute. It was a radical faith. But then we can't forget or to look over the redemptive foreshadowing of what we see. Let's start reading in verse 11. "And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up as a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of this place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou did this thing and has not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. And Abraham returned with his young unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. God provided a ram for the sacrifice. Verse 13, And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up as a burnt offering instead of his son. We cannot miss the predictive, redemptive shadowing that's in these verses. We need to thank God for providing a substitution for our sins. Think about this. God told Abraham to take his son and sacrifice him. Abraham obeyed. The angel of the Lord stalled Abraham's hand. The son was spared. And because of Abraham's obedience, the blessing was given. On Mount Moriah, God stopped Abraham's hand. But centuries later, on another hill, God did not stop his own. Think about that. What would be the outlook for mankind if God did not let his son die on the cross? We'd still be lost, wouldn't we? God stopped Abraham, but God did not stop himself when his son was sacrificed for the sins of the world. Jesus, the Son of God, died as a sacrifice for our sin. Just think what would have happened if God, said, "Nope, I'm not going to allow my son to die." We'd still be lost. Do you see the predictive of what we read in Genesis 22? About Abraham and Isaac, and then God and Jesus. God spared Isaac's life because of the faithfulness of Abraham. God did not spare his own son from dying, so that we might have the forgiveness of sin. Isn't that something? That God loved us so much that he allowed his son to be sacrificed for sin. This morning, if you're here and you're not a Christian, you need to seriously think about the sacrifice that was made on your behalf. If you wish to obey the gospel and be baptized, would you come? Or if you're here and already a child of God, but perhaps see that you need the prayers of the saints, for whatever the reason may be, we'd ask that you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation. Come to Jesus.